tonight on WGTD HD1.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning. Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Marcia Connett, your host this week. And I am so excited to have one of my favorite guests here. It's Joan Rory. And Joan's been with us before. And today we're going to talk about something similar, but with a lot more information. And that is HALO, which is a project here in Racine. And then at the end of today's show, we have a really big surprise for you. So you'll want to stay with us. So Joan, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Marcia. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, so glad that you're here. So it sounds to me like there have been a lot of things going on at HALO. It changes and not bad things, just different things. So tell us where we're at. What's going on?
Sure. So HALO is Racine's emergency shelter. HALO stands for Homeless Assistance Leadership Organization. We will be celebrating our 20th year in 2025. So that's a good indicator right there that we've been in the shelter business 19 years. It's my understanding that prior to this was another organization and service where people would go temporarily different nights, church
basements,
hosted
yep.
the rest mm-hmm. program. So there were numerous churches that allowed people one night a week to come in and have shelter. So that resulted in a full-time emergency shelter in the city of Racine. So we're located on DeCoven Avenue. We are, like I said, an emergency shelter. We have 120 beds. We have just experienced an incredible ride since COVID. I just became interim executive director on August 5th, so that was 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
I've given the board until October 31st. Our executive director, Holly, had resigned, and her last day was August 2nd. I came in Monday, August 5th. And I'm giving us 3 months to get us an executive director. I am vice president of the board of directors. I've been with the board of directors 4 years. Wow. I was an active volunteer even prior to being part of the board. So that being said, I'm temporary here. I'm kind of calling myself the defibrillator.
Very good. Ooh.
Kind of the paddles that are bringing us back to life and looking forward to starting a new chapter with new leadership. I can also share excitedly that we hired a finance director. His first day was yesterday.
Oh,
so, yeah, lots of change, lots of transition. It's really an exciting time to be part of this organization. Our board has 20 seats. Every seat is full. Our board Ooh. Is incredibly engaged. And, yeah, it's an exciting time. Now, don't let me mislead you into thinking that doesn't mean we don't have work to do.
Of course.
But, we definitely are an exciting time for our community. Again, though, facing challenges that other communities across the nation also face, and that is our homeless population.
Sure, sure. Well, and I guess two questions come to mind. And the first one let's address because you just mentioned it. Does it seem that our homeless population is bigger than it's been? Or are we better at identifying who they are? And I know you said since COVID, you've seen this increase. And I'm real curious if maybe nationally at conferences you've been to or Zooms you've been on, people have addressed that.
Yeah, well, just to set the record straight, I spent 30 years in education. I have executive director experience. I was executive director of Visioning a Greater Racine.
Right.
My heart is very much in the nonprofit arena in Racine, in my community. I'm not the expert, so I'm a willing, capable, abled person that is blessed with the opportunity to serve in this leadership role right now. I can probably only give you personal opinion on that,
okay.
question. Is it more homeless or better identified? I think it's both. But I can attest to the fact, and I don't have a specific statistic,
mm-hmm.
but the mental health and addiction issues with our homeless are the highest it's ever been. We have so many in our community that are homeless, may have medication for mental illness, may not have medication for mental illness. It is a true struggle to adapt to this clientele. HALO in its beginnings was a dry shelter, meaning only clients could come in that were sober, you know, not actively showing signs of drunk or high or on a substance. That has changed. We are a high barrier shelter, and we must allow our community members who are facing those demons, I guess, for lack of a better word, and we do house them.
Sure.
That makes congregate living really challenging. I mean, remember the dorm days when you were forced into a room with
total stranger?
Yeah, every freshman thinks their roommate is a psychotic killer because that's strange to expect. But you're living in a situation, and what, you know, some of our rooms have 8 men in a room in bunk beds. It's tight quarters.
Mm.
Add mental illness or addiction issues into that. Severe poverty. There's so many factors in the face of homelessness now, and it's a real different face of homelessness. We have 20 children in shelter today. At least 8 of them are under the age of 6.
Wow.
Single moms, single dads. We do have accommodations for families. Not much, not enough. You know, and when I'm out in the community and I'm talking about HALO, some of the first instincts or hip shots people will say, we need a bigger shelter. 120 beds isn't enough. I don't think that's the answer here. We could put 400 beds, and I guess we'd still be at or above capacity. The need is great, and the client has changed. You know, the client has definitely changed. We have lots of people who are frustrated with their situation. Lack of motivation makes it a little bit easier to sit all day and not necessarily job seek or be an mm-hmm. active participant in your housing search. It's tricky. You know, I always say that the HALO staff here gets passion as a paycheck, because in traditionally nonprofits aren't the highest paid careers to be in, but I don't think there's one person on staff that I could say wasn't here because they're passionate about the client they serve.
That's amazing. One of the populations we hear so often about being underserved and still being a significant part of homelessness is the veteran. Do you see veterans?
We do. And to be fair, they're prioritized. But we can only do so much of that. There are other organizations that specifically focus on veteran and veteran mm-hmm. issues. But yes, we do see veterans.
Okay. Yeah, people, I think, are very touched when they think of someone who has, you know, served their country. And as you and I have talked, you know, have come back with issues. You know, maybe they went with issues, but they've come back with issues that maybe aren't being addressed or addressed as well as they could, and that's leading them to homelessness. Tell me about that part of the population. And again, if this is out of your wheelhouse, let me know, that is afraid to be in a shelter. Oh, and I remember studying that in college, that there is that, and especially in that mental illness and substance group. Is that an issue as well, still?
Well, yes. There is a population in our community that refuses shelter. It's the perfect time to give a shout out to the other organizations in our community that do service this population. One of them being the HOPES Center, which is located downtown Racine. They go out nightly and they know where the homeless population is.
Where they stay.
Yep. They do a, what is it called? A point in time count. Once, if not twice a year, required by HUD, I want to say. And that really does do a complete count, so we have an idea of what we have. Now, usually that count is in January, so it's not a very big count, but we cannot force housing or shelter on anyone. And yes, I'll be very honest, we have an incredible problem downtown Racine, at the plaza between the library and Memorial Hall. It is a gathering point, not just for homeless people. We do have a lot of subsidized housing downtown Racine. Another organization that I'd like to give a shout out that does service the homeless population is the Hospitality Center. And the Hospitality Center is a drop-in weekday program serving breakfast and lunch every day.
Now, is that the one that's at St. Luke's Church?
It is at St. Luke's Church downtown on the corner of Main and I want to say 7th.
7th? Yeah, I think so too.
So the interesting part about the Hospitality Center is the clients they serve. So they're also offering numerous services, haircuts, laundry capability. They want to offer more. They want to offer showers. They want to offer daytime drop-in resources. We have a little kerfluffle, I guess, in our community, for lack of a better word. A great deal of our community thinks that a lot of the problems downtown with people hanging out at Monument Square, they're automatically labeling it as a homeless problem. Where, in fact, and I'm quite sure this is an accurate statistic. You know, I stated that a lot of the people downtown are housed. We have a very tall, you know, high rise of subsidized housing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of residents downtown that are in severe poverty. So Monument Square is their living room. That's what I basically call it. And they do have a right to be there. It's interesting to note, it isn't a homeless problem. It isn't specifically a homeless problem because the Hospitality Center does take numbers and data. And I want to say the last number I heard was that 77% of the clients the Hospitality Center services are housed. So 23% are unhoused or homeless. So it's the next time you see a group of people hanging around Monument Square and, you know, I guess some people would say loitering, they're out in the elements, but take 10 seconds to really think. It's not a homeless problem, it's resource problem, availability to resource problem, and, you know, housing downtown.
Sure.
Well, and it's convenient to everything, you know, the courthouse, it's the bus lines, some shopping, not a whole lot, but resources like the Hospitality Center. So location means a lot, not just from a real estate perspective, but from, you know, a resource perspective this population.
Well, and, you know, I think our forefathers and mothers, when they just came up with the idea of Monument Square, it was built as a gathering place.
It was called Haymarket Square.
For years, people gathered there for things. And maybe it's a repurposed gathering, but we shouldn't be surprised that you know, that's a sort of welcoming, if I can even dare to use that word, place that people feel okay about being together.
Right. You're exactly right. Now, the plaza between the library and Memorial Hall, different story. It is a challenge. We have new management. I think you had them on your show.
I did. They were amazing.
Memorial Hall, Festival Parks. Well, the chronic issue is some people sleep in the doorways of Memorial Hall. Mm. Various reasons, you know, out of the wind, whatever the reason is. And again, we can't force shelter, but that's not a solution. We can't, you know, have this community building and have events there with this chronic problem. And it isn't just sleeping in the doorways. It's garbage mm-hmm. and things left in this plaza. And it's something we need to address. Now, I did poll Hope's Hospitality Festival Park Management together, and we had a discussion about how can we approach this. So we did have a discussion. We talked about security. We talked about employees becoming more, you know, knowledgeable and meeting the people there to have build relationships. I understand it's still very much a problem. So it's time to readdress that. Already contacted because I saw a Facebook post. We'll reconvene, but this can't be a unique situation. Other urban cities have this. We've got to figure out, and not necessarily reinvent the wheel, we have to figure this out. You know, the solution isn't the old YMCA. Everybody needs to get that out of their head.
Oh, thank goodness they're tearing
right
it down.
it is not an option for anything except development space.
Yep.
The papers are signed. It's in motion.
Yeah.
And it is a shame that, you know, we lost that building.
Right.
But it's gone. I can't look back now. You know, it's moving forward. We have to figure this out as a community. There has to be creative ways. A community in Seattle had a real problem with homeless people camping under a bridge, like a mm-hmm. highway bridge. It's a pretty famous solution that they came up with. And if you Google it, Google Seattle troll, they found a local artist to sculpt an enormous troll under this bridge, which eliminated sleeping space or living space.
Oh my gosh.
Is that a creative solution? It displaced those people. I don't know what follow-up there was, but it was a creative attempt at, okay, well, we have this problem, let's put some, I'll say that's better than putting spikes on a bench so someone
Or just destroying people's belongings. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're watching the Supreme Court. There has been a ruling recently that is concerning for the homeless population, and that is that municipalities can arrest you for being homeless. How different municipalities do that or honor that or whatever, but that's a relatively new Supreme Court decision that we all are keeping an eye on.
That's very scary.
Is it criminal to be homeless, Marcia?
Yeah, exactly. And so what is the court going to do about it? You know, are we going to put them in jail? Well, then our jails will be full. And
they are.
Yeah. Oh.
And they are.
Yeah. Wow. That is very scary. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Ugh. Do you think there are enough people at the table talking about this? And if so, who else should be part of this?
Well, with firsthand experience, are the stakeholders, and as I noted, I am a member of the board. I'm actively engaged. I want HALO to succeed. You know, but in the real world, if we really did our jobs, we wouldn't need to be here. You know, there would be no homelessness.
Right.
That's not the reality. The stakeholders are incredibly invested in HALO. I know for a fact. I've sat at the table with them, the county, the city, United Way, Racine Community Foundation. We met at the Wingspread, at the Johnson Foundation at Wingspread to present our challenges and opportunities, and it has been a group discussion. So that kind of started last, the momentum for that started last October. So the right people are at the table. And like I said, we met hospitality, Hope, festival parks. So we can get the right people at the table. I do need to get Nick Dembski, the new executive director for the public library, at the table.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a work in progress. I would certainly welcome community input. If you are one of those people who are concerned about downtown or want to be part of a creative solution, let's talk. Suggestions, ideas.
Yeah, don't complain.
Yeah, be part of the thing you wish to see is my chronic response. Hey, look, you know, you can stay on Facebook all day and complain about these issues, or you can come to this table, have a conversation, and let's figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we're at a good point. We can take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get back to talking about Halo and some of the needs that you're seeing and ways that some of our listeners might be able to help. Plus, that very exciting surprise announcement coming. But you are listening to Community Matters. My guest today is Joan Rory. You're listening to WGTD 91.1, your gateway to public radio. So, Joan, now put your Halo hat back on. You are the interim executive director, and I know you're trying to manage. It's not even a shoestring anymore. I mean, it's like a shoestring that's broken and tied into knots a bunch of times.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah. Where does the funding for Halo come from? And what does that look like going forward?
Numerous sources, lots of grants. We have Beth, who is our grant writer. She's on attack for grants all the time. We do rely heavily on private donations. I wish I had the percentage to be able to give you, but private donations are an enormous part. You know, corporate donations, fundraisers, efforts that we do to raise funds, but predominantly grants, private donations.
Now that brings up all sorts of things. Tell me a little bit about fundraisers that you do, and do you have any in the planning stages right now?
We do. We have a Halloween event coming.
Oh, ooh.
And Darlene on staff is taking the lead on that. I want to say it's October 19th. I can provide information if there's, you know, links possible on the GTD website or something. We'll figure that out. Okay. But we're also looking at 2025 being our 20th anniversary, so we're looking at a large-scale event. We did have a few events this summer, but I'll tell you the challenge post-COVID. We did a COVID fundraiser. It was widely successful, but that whole arena has changed.
That whole arena has changed.
People aren't as... you know, they're not going out as much as they used to the galas with the $200 price tags, tickets, et cetera. And people really want experience. So we have to work really hard to be creative in funding. Right now, it's just a big ask. You know, it's not fancy. It's we are running at a deficit. We had incredible funding, federal funding during COVID to provide isolation options. And, you know, we had a buffer. We don't have that anymore. Unfortunately, I think we got a little used to having that kind of a budget. But we're running on empty. We are running on empty. And I am in the throes of the big ask. We've had social media has been incredible for the ask. I did one post. It resulted in several media contacting me. That was a couple Fridays ago, and I think we're at about $14,000 that has been, money has been donated. We've had carload after carload stop by with the items we asked for. Wow, we didn't realize that could be that powerful. You know, social media is a powerful thing for good and bad, but I'm not complaining. We get incredible support from our community financially and goods. Mm-hmm. The big time we got support from Waukesha, Wauwatosa, Hubertus, Milwaukee, West Allis, Oak Creek.
Oh my gosh.
And actually, if we have a minute, I'd actually really like to read a thank you note that we received from a young woman. And I think this was from Milwaukee, mm-hmm. but her words are so incredible. I read this the other night when I went and accepted a check from the Music and More program downtown.
Oh, yeah.
The words are just so touching. I'm going to search for the words, and here it is. All right?
Please.
This was a handwritten, I'll say pretty cryptically, but handwritten little note that came in the mail last week. Dear Halo staff, I saw the story about your shelter on TV. I decided I really want to support it. Please accept this donation for all of the people and families in need. I really wanted to help out all of the people who are not as fortunate as me. My heart breaks for all these people and families who don't have a place to call home. And I'm so happy you are giving them that. This money is going to a way better place than whatever I would have bought with it. I hope this helps you. This came with a $40 check.
Oh.
It might as well have been a million, in my opinion. Because
absolutely.
Oh, the sentiments, the care, the passion, the love that came in this note has brought me to tears every time I've shared it.
I'm on the edge. Yeah.
Yeah.
She could have sent 10 or 20. But 40, I bet, was a stretch.
I know.
And she was motivated to do that by what she saw and heard.
And she saw the story of two very different faces of homelessness. We have a single dad with three kids. Oh. He's very public about his story. Mm-hmm. Why is he here? He has started to lose sight in an eye. He's a QA analyst and can no longer satisfactorily visually inspect. So he has basically lost a job because of his loss of eyesight. So he's here. He's been here since July 2nd. Imagine being a family. We have a family of five.
Yeah.
Here in shelter. Your support supports them.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. And, you know, when we think of homeless shelters, we think of single men or single women or, you know, people down on their luck, as we used to say.
Right.
But the stories are just so much more than that.
Yeah.
And it's really important for us to remember. You know, you did a thing, I don't want to say it was maybe 6 months ago, and again, you used your Facebook, and you clearly have a huge following because I'm always amazed at the comments that are made time after time after time. And you said to people, you know what? We need, I think it was peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
Peanut butter and jelly and bread, I think. And, you know, get it to us however you want. And I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, I get groceries from Pick and Save every week delivered right to my house. Why can't I just have a delivery sent to you? And, you know, and I'm thinking I should do that once a month or every week. What if you were to have a wish list of things?
If I were?
Yeah, all right, get your wish list out, Joan. What kinds of items do you especially need for us to get to you, whether it's being, as you said, being dropped off at the shelter or delivered to the, or mailed to the shelter, whatever.
Right. Well, we still need peanut butter and jelly. That's a daily need. Our pantry is very low right now. Everything right now seems to be very low, from, well, toilet paper to fresh vegetables. So on a regular basis, the needs we have are peanut butter, jellies. As we look to go back to school, we now need to look at bag lunches, you know, sometimes for kids, healthy things for kids, feminine hygiene products.
And I'm
going to throw socks and underwear out here, but I'm asking for new socks, new underwear. We've stopped accepting clothing, and we did that in February for a couple of reasons. The biggest reason is our donation room is out of control. It is not organized. And in order for us to best serve our clients, we need to get a handle on that. So we're in the process of attacking that room. It will be organized. We will be able to, you know, provide clothing, et cetera. But right now, we need to basically start from scratch. We're going to get into colder weather, and yes, we'll need coats, et cetera. But the kinds of things we really, really need right now, cleaning products, bleach, dish detergent, we're getting, the last call we did about 2 weeks ago was for powdered laundry detergent, and that's been coming in because, Marcia, when I asked for peanut butter and jelly, I had no idea how much peanut butter and jelly would show up. We were exploding with peanut, but it's eaten regularly.
But you use it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, so... And we get donations weekly from many community places. I'm not, you know, Chick-fil-A, Little Caesars. Weekly we have drivers that pick up O&H Bakery, Bimbo Bread. Those organizations donate generously on a weekly basis. But you can only eat Chick-fil-A and, you know, pizza so much. So
of course.
With 20 children, we've got a dad who wants fresh vegetables, and that's hard to get. We rely on donations.
Well, and, you know, I'm thinking everybody's garden is full of zucchinis.
I know.
Who knows what? You'd take those, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We get fruit, apples I see regularly, peaches, plums. Vegetables don't happen. Lettuce happens. Salad happens. So we need dressing. Condiments, sugar could probably be a currency here. coffee. I'm looking at, we go through coffee makers because they're donated, but you know, I'm looking at a commercial coffee maker right now for $170, and that's going to last us a long time. So we've actually had someone very generous saying, we had a church say, we've got some money, give us a list. That's on that list.
Nice.
Yeah, so twin bedding. Most of our beds are twin beds. We have some doubles for our family rooms, but predominantly twin bedding. New pillows, please.
Okay, what about bedding? Is gently used okay, or would you...
New and gently used.
Okay.
It should go to say that if it's so shredded, you don't put it on your bed, or if that clothing item is so stained, you won't wear it, please reconsider just, you know, putting it in a bag for donations, because, you know, a lot of our clients have job interviews, and they deserve the dignity of wearing clean, appropriate clothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, do you work with the Dress for Success group from the YW for your women who might be?
I don't know. That's a great idea. We need to connect you.
Yes. Yeah. Because they provide, interview clothing and career wear for women either re-entering the workforce pretty much. And I know they used to be out at Regency Mall, but that part of the mall is gone. And they have since moved, I believe, downtown.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. Yeah. I'll find out and let you know.
Okay.
Okay, good, 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 good. Things like bread and that sort of thing, you're okay with? Because you get that from...
We get plenty of bread and buns, but we don't... So we might have 400 hot dog buns. We might not have any hot dogs. You know, it depends what we have. We got an incredible call last week from a business that their walk-in freezer had died, and they needed to get that food out. We benefited by getting a lot of meat.
Oh, wow.
And I should also share that our food prep is done by clients. And in order for that to happen, a client has to be motivated or skilled or have the desire. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the case.
Sure.
We don't have a kitchen manager in the budget.
Oh,
when you talk about a lean budget, we don't even have shoelaces. You said on a shoestring, we don't even have the shoestrings.
Oh, my gosh.
So now it's a balance of how responsible are clients to step up.
Sure.
And, you know, manage or do some of that. And he originally started cooking just for his kids. But if you're going to cook on, and we have two sides, one for men, one for women, you have to prepare food for everybody. Right now we have 100 people in shelter, you know, maybe 50 on each side. So it's not normal for everyone to know how to prepare a meal for 50.
I would have apoplexy. I would not be able to figure that out just off the top of my head. So,
nope.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You mentioned toilet paper, hygiene products. Other paper products, paper towels, that sort of thing? Are
yes,
you in need
diapers,
of
diapers.
Diapers.
Pull-ups.
And wipes.
Yep. We're out of pull-ups and wipes.
Okay. All sizes.
Yeah, we had a woman come in with three kids, you know, last week, and we didn't have room, but I loaded her up with diapers and apples and milk and spent the afternoon calling other agencies to see if we had any options for her. So, you know, I'm very grateful to my surrounding organizations, the Shalom Center, I called them, Women's Resource Center in Racine. We're full. That's basically the bottom line. We're full.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard to hear. It's harder to say.
Oh, I can't even begin to imagine how painful it must be. Wow. So we talked about tangible products. If I wanted to send you a check, or how do I do that? Where do I send it?
You can mail a check to 2000 DeCoven Avenue. Unit 1, Racine, 53403, or online at our website, Halo, I think it's haloinc.org, bad executive director who can't.
sorry, she's new. We got to forgive her.
Search for Google, or search Google for Halo Racine, and it'll pop up. On our front page is the button to donate.
The give button. Okay.
With PayPal. Okay. Or if you need me to come and pick it up, you tell me what that check is and Joan will pop over.
How fun that would be.
I'll do it.
Okay. We can pay you to be our friend.
I'll call you my Halo hero.
Oh, I love that. What about volunteers? Do you need volunteers?
Yes. So COVID killed a lot of that. We used to have programming. We have regular programming now. We have arts and crafts for kids. We've got job searching and things like that. But what we need is people to come and provide meals in our kitchen. We have two commercial kitchens. We used to have 3 to 5 orgs a week providing meals. We have 4 a month right now.
Ooh.
Any day of the week, your org wants to provide, and don't make it complicated, burgers, brats, casseroles, spaghetti.
Eight-a-top casserole, yeah.
Yeah, with meat sauce. We're not picky. We're going to love whatever you bring. And bring some of your sunshiny selves in here, because when I started at 9 o'clock on Monday, August 5th, I launched Operation Halo Hope. So it commenced at 0900 August 5th. We are infusing hope into everything we do. We need to be that beacon of hope. We need every person walking in our doors to feel hope.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. That I can't think of a better way to wrap it all up. And we've got just a couple minutes left. So we promised a rather exciting and really, I'm just thrilled about this,
me too.
Announcement. And Joan, why don't you tell us what the next part of your career will include?
Well, I've always had a face for radio. WGTD knows that. That's the oldest book, the oldest joke in the radio, in radio joke in the book. But when you say, Marcia, this is WGTD 91.1, your gateway to public radio, I've always wanted to do that, and now I get to.
Because yes,
I'm coming on board as a Community Matters host. My first show will be August 31st.
So next week, exciting. Yep,
just like Marcia is having me talking about Halo and Racine, I'll be having Tamara Coleman, the executive director of the Shalom Center in Kenosha, and feel her out for the Kenosha community and how they're handling the homeless population and the programs they've got. So it's a part of my heart that gets to have Tamara on and continue talking, but I've been charged with having shows that will also provide opposing viewpoints.
Right.
So one of the ideas I'm working on is Racine's facing a new county tax. We're going to have a few people on to talk about the benefits of that, and maybe someone who, you know, has questions or doesn't necessarily agree with
right.
it. So that'll be a good opportunity. I'll be bringing in some people with knowledge, background, experience on viewpoints that may be opposing, and we can tap into that a little deeper.
Absolutely. And Joan and I have actually talked behind the scenes. We might even double team somebody at some point.
I would love it. Yeah.
It would be phenomenal. So Joan, welcome aboard. We are so excited to have you here. You are going to add a wonderful dimension to the Saturday lineup for Community Matters. And, you know, and I wish you could do it more than once a month, but yeah, it's going to be great. So
I'm giddy. I'm beyond giddy. And we'll probably talk about having some forums, you know, on site live. Dave and I brainstormed. I am beyond excited.
Great. Great. So lots of great programming to come. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Joan, thank you so much for being a part of it today. And for being a part of it for the weeks to come.
I love chatting with you and sharing a part of my heart.
Agreed. And we'll talk to you all in the coming weeks. Thank you.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
In a world filled with possibilities and wonder, we can always find grace in between the music. Join me, Lily Maselli, host of In Between the Music, and enjoy trivia and music together. For dates and times, visit WGTD.org.
WGTD HD, Kenosha Racine.